So, Adam Neil, hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon. what I've been doing, Adam, when I talk to everybody is I go right at the very beginning when I remember meeting people. So I can remember you in Envis having applied for a job with ITV.
That's correct, yeah, because I didn't know anything about the BBC apprenticeships.
No, exactly. And at the time, we were recruiting for the BBC and some independent companies on ITV. And you decided that you were going for the ITV one, which is interesting. Mm. And then as the day went on, it became obvious to a lot of us that you were more suited to one of the BBC jobs than you were to the ITV jobs, I think. So can you pick it up from there, what happened, from your viewpoint, what happened?
Yeah. So like you said, it's like I was at Envis and I applied for the ITV team assistant role. And I thought, there's a lot of people here just for this one role. I'm like, okay, what's going on? But then I got chatting to a few of them and they were like, I'm going for the BBC rigger role, and I'm BBC factual role and stuff like that. I'm like, wait, there's BBC ones. It's like I missed those ones. So it was a great way of getting into and learning more about everyone else as well in the Envis workshop, because I that was a really good interview process, really. And I remember when we were doing our group presentation, seeing representatives from the BBC there, and it was Sam Rosie and it was Rhea Lloyd from the talent team. And I remember them. I don't know why. It's like they stood out to everyone else. I think it's because they were really engaging and stuff, really. And then I went from there then thinking, well, I've done my best. I've done my shot. And then it was a few days later, I had an email from the BBC who then said, we know you didn't apply for our role, but we'd like to interview you. Are you available? And I was like, yeah. It's like, I remember I was off that day and they were like, oh, we just need a few things. And I literally sent it to them straight away and they were like, whoa, that was quick kind of thing. So, and then I messaged, emailed you and thanked you for putting it, because they said that they had a chat with you and stuff like that. And a few days later, then I had an email from ITV going, oh, sorry, you weren't successful. And I was like, kind of guessed that since I had that conversation. But no, it's like I went to the interview then in Llandaff. It was back in the old building. And there's somebody from Skill Cymru there as well. And Sam Rosie was there along with Zoe Rushton, who's the talent manager. And I've got to say, it's the hardest interview I've ever had. And I was just, they were asking me the questions and I was just bringing them back and at them. And I remember speaking to Catherine from Skill after, and she said that they were asking me the hardest questions because I'd answered all the easy questions really quickly. So it's like, that's why it was so hard, really.
Yeah, and it could go two ways, can it? You know, sometimes in an interview, you can have a long interview with hard questions and you think, oh, they're really interested in me, but maybe it's because they know they don't want you, but they're too embarrassed to let you go as well, kind of thing. But it was totally the opposite for you. And just from our perspective, for other people to understand maybe what tends to happen is, after we do, so we do this long workshop process, don't we, to recruit?
Yeah.
Which
is great fun as well. It's really good fun.
It's what we try to do. And it's something that I put together years ago for what was Creative Skills Test at the time, is Screen Skills Now. And it just tries, it's for us to see whether you can, you know, think on your feet, work with a team, work with different people, what your personality is like, all that kind of stuff. And we don't expect people to know everything about telly by any means, but just to have a feel for it, I suppose. And then at the end of the day, always there's the bit that I call horse trading, where the companies will always, and it tends to be everybody likes the same kind of the same people kind of thing. But it was very obvious for all of us that you hadn't gone for the role in ITV that was creative enough for you, basically. Yeah. So, you know, they were looking for an admin type of person with a little bit of creativity rather than the other way around. And as soon as BBC knew that ITV would probably weren't going to offer you the role, straight away they were saying, can we take Adam to the next stage? So then, and straight away then we say, yes, of course you can, you know. And this is what we do. And it's happened. You're not the only person that's happened. So it does happen. And that's a that's the good thing about recruiting lots of jobs at the same time, I think, that we can move people from one place to another. You know, it's worked in some instances, it hasn't worked in others. You know, I've had some people being called to other companies and they don't do a good job in an interview like you did. You know, and they'll say things like, oh yeah, I don't know about your job because I only knew about it yesterday. So I haven't done the research, which, you know, 100% for honesty, but not out of 10 for being sensible.
It's any job. Any job you should be prepared for. It's like you always got to research what the company is, what they produce, their values as well, because that's always a key thing. You check in those keywords and it's like it's just a tick in a box then. Like you just got to do all that, don't you? So it's part of the job.
And you know that that shows you as a personality, as a character as well. You know, you're good at research. It's something that you really like. And then as we got to know you during the Skill Cymru blocks as well, it was obvious that you'd kind of been on the periphery of the industry for donkey's years and hadn't been able to find a way in, basically, into mainstream. No. God knows why. Yeah. Nobody noticed you.
Well, it's because it's like out of uni, after school, I went to uni. I studied media tech and production at what it was, Glamorgan University back then. It wasn't engaging enough for me. And I ended up dropping out of that. And I thought, that's my shot done. Then at getting into the media industry, you need a degree to get into the media industry, what I thought, because I didn't know anything about creative apprenticeships or anything like that when I was coming out of school. And I just I went into retail then for a long time, and I was just doing my own bits and pieces. It's like I started doing stuff with YouTube and things like that, and that's where you then learned about me then. It's like I was trying to do these little bits and bobs and stuff, and
Then we found out that you did your Comic-Con stuff.
Because
I can remember you did your first presentation in Skill Cymru and you nearly killed me with the costume that you brought in.
Don't know what you're on about. No idea. No, that's... Well, I was taken out an apprentice, wasn't I? And a fellow apprentice was actually one of my good friends as well.
That fell on top of me, wasn't it?
Yoda costumes over there.
Oh, they were.
So peeping over at me on this corner. Yeah, because I was trying to do like my presentation. I was like saying to bring props in, and I remember posting up this costume on your coat hanger, and I just went, it was obviously too heavy. But it made it stuck in your mind. So
exactly. Well, you see, we still haven't forgotten about you, have we?
No, exactly. Yeah. Gonna for you a job next year soon.
But what's interesting then though is that you went straight into the BBC and straight into the unscripted department, wasn't it, at the time?
Yeah, unscripted. It was transitioning from factual to unscripted.
Something tells me it's coming back to factual entertainment.
It's back to factual entertainment now. I've had to change my my email signature so many times.
Admit, factual entertainment makes much more sense to me because you still have scripts, even though it's factual.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like I always say this. It's like I'm always like unscripted production. It's like it's still scripted. It's like what it means is obviously the interviews. Like this isn't scripted.
And you don't have a script in the way that you have a drama script and you're following the lines.
Yeah.
But you do still have to have, I call it a map. Yeah. You've got to have a map that you kind of follow.
Yeah, it's your Goldilocks list, really. Like, of this is kind of what we think is going to happen. It's like, yes, obviously the presenters and stuff, they have their set questions, but even that, it's like we'll give them a list of questions, but they put it in their own words, type thing.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah.
So that's why they.
There's nothing wrong with that at all, is there? So is it Bargain Hunt that you went to just out with? I can't remember.
No, I went to Bargain Hunt was one of my last ones.
Okay.
I went on to a special called Miners Who Made Us.
Of course, yes, I'm gonna forget that. Yeah,
which is brilliant because they give me a touch of pretty much everything in that first 3 months. I was researching my own stuff as well, so that really helped. They chucked me behind a camera, so I was doing it all, and it was a nice way to get introduced to the BBC, and something I've never really done professionally. So it's like it was nice.
Yeah, you'd dabbled a bit with camera and stuff and you kind of knew.
But not professional cameras and stuff. It's like things like my Canon camera.
Yeah,
the
DSLR thing. Yeah.
So
I've got a question for you. Do you think it made a difference that you went, and put this diplomatically, you went one of our youngest apprentices? You were slightly older arriving.
Yeah, definitely, because I've had more of a life experience and stuff, and I, not to sound nasty to younger people, but it's like I got more patience, whereas they want things younger, because I was the same. It's like I wanted to go bam, 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 bam when I was younger, and when you get older, you tend to go, right, no, let's step back, and it's a bit of, you got a bit more humility in things as well. So it's like if somebody tells you you're wrong, you go, right, okay, how was I wrong? What do I do to make it right? Whereas 10 years prior to that, if somebody said to me, you're doing it wrong, I'd be going, no, I didn't. And stuff like that, I'd be a bit standoffish.
Yeah, you'd have been defensive about it. You wouldn't have taken it as constructive criticism, which is the way it's always meant, really.
Exactly, yeah. So definitely, being... and it's like I said, I thought my time had come and gone with the university and things, and I didn't think that being just over 30 that I could have started an apprenticeship. But he welcomed me to the interviews and things, and the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, right? And you haven't stopped, have you? So you went from there then, to Bargain Hunt, was it?
I went X-ray. to one show for a few weeks first.
Yeah.
Then I went on to X-ray. I did a long stint on X-ray. Then I went back onto one show, and then I went on to Bargain Hunt. But before I started on Bargain Hunt, X-ray offered me a job as a researcher, which again, I was completely blown away because I thought it would be apprentice, runner, researcher, blah, 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 blah. So I never in my million years thought that they would have taken me on. I just applied for the job thinking, show my willingness to go and experience a proper interview, because I had the apprenticeship interview, but that's kind of a different skill set.
We don't do the scoring and all that kind of stuff. It's not quite as formal as the BBC process, is it, really?
Yeah, exactly. And because they have a panel, and like I was saying earlier, you've got to make sure you put in those values
into totally. them.
So it's like, and you've got to use them in every single one, because it's a tick in the box
at the end
of the day. You trust audience and all those words. I'm not going to give them all to you. You're going to have to research that.
No, I'm going to say maybe, no, I've sat on enough BBC panels to know. But it's an interesting one because again, you're not the only apprentice that it's happened to, but it doesn't happen all the time. We're really proud when it does happen that before you finish your apprenticeship, you knew that you had a job and you were starting that job before the end. You were being an apprentice in the job that you were carrying on with afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, because I know the apprentice that came after me, Anna, she's done exactly the same thing as well. And it's just it's a proud moment for yourself that you've picked it up. And because like right at the start, you're told you might not have a job at the end of this.
Yeah.
Which is,
and they have to tell you that because there is no guarantee. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so when I applied for it and had it and stuff, I remember the conversation with Zoe, the talent manager, and he was like, I was just like, no way. And she was like, way. And I was like, so yeah, it was one of those, one of the proudest moments in my life, really. Like, and it's like, and it's thanks to you and Skill Cymru, because if I went for the ITV one and it was only the ITV, I wouldn't have got it. I wouldn't be in this position.
Yeah,
now,
we don't want to think about that. ITV would have said no, yeah. And then you were sitting in Treorch in your room crying for the rest of your life. So we don't want to think about that one, do we?
Well, I wouldn't say that, but yeah, but no, it's like, it is, it's funny how things work out, and yeah, no, it's
yeah, it was great. Obviously, yeah. There, you know, it was your time, Adam. That's the point, you know. I say all the time, all we do is open the door, and then you've got to walk through it and do what you need to do, and you know, you've grabbed it by the scruff of the neck and kind of carried on. But it's interesting, you were saying earlier,
and
that
you're trying to close the door on me,
yeah,
you?
Yeah, like, so you don't come back in. Yeah, yeah, that you never come back. Exactly. But you were saying earlier that you're kind of, you're going from Crime Watch to X-ray and X-ray to Crime Watch, and but which is the kind of cycle of your life now, more or less.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So it's like the past 3 years I've done probably almost like the equal amount of stints now on both Crime Watch and X-ray. And it's not the fact that it's the only jobs out there. It's jobs that I really love doing, and they want me back as well. And that's another nice thing being said in your appraisal and things, oh, we want you back for the next run. So you know, between those contracts, you've got something. So it's, which is great. But then the tricky thing about the freelance work is those periods of time in between those contracts, because sometimes it might be 3 weeks, sometimes it might be 3 months between those contracts, and you've got to think, do I get a long stint, do I bunker down and not spend things and then go back into it? So you've got to weigh it up, really. And it can be difficult, but I think we're all used to bunkering down at the moment with
COVID. It's an interesting thing, I think, as well, though, because you're slightly older, you kind of work it out, and you decided this is your kind of work-life balance, if you like. When you've got your time, when you're working, you work. Yeah. When you've got your time off, you really enjoy the time off that you have. Interesting, though, because there's so much drama work around at the minute. It's interesting that you're not saying that you're kind of putting feelers out, because there are some drama shoots that are shorter. You know, there are 6 week drama shoots that are happening that people can't crew, and you have got some transferable skills because you do the reenactment kind of things on Crime Watch.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'd
rule it out. Drama. But I do like a lot of the factual work and things. It's like when I'm not working in the BBC, it's like I'm doing my own YouTube stuff, and that's purely, it's either the Comic-Con things, or now I've gone into more giving factual information out there. So I've transferred my skills that I've got there into another medium, really, and stuff like that. But I wouldn't say I'd scratch out drama at all. I think it's like when I'm done doing X-ray and Crime Watch, when I feel that's it, I need a new challenge, I need to move on and stuff. Because for me, it's like, you know, I love filming and stuff. So for me, my next step is to be a shooting director. And I think I'm almost at that point.
So at the minute, you're a researcher. Yeah, that's your credit now, yeah? Yeah, because
I'm a shooting researcher.
Shooting researcher. So you get your own story, not Crime Watch, obviously, but with the other one.
With X-ray.
With X-ray. You get your own stories, you research it, you go out there, you shoot it. Do you edit your own stuff as well?
It depends. It's like... not this year, because it's a bit more difficult with COVID and things like that, because we're all working from home and stuff like that. But you do, you either pick up a story from the inbox or from different social medias and stuff like that, or you think of an idea, you develop that, you get all the research, you get all the the contributors, the location, stuff like that, hand it over to the director, they script, send it back to you, you fact check, they go off, shoot it, and edit it. But because I want to progress as well, they do give me the opportunity to write my own scripts, go out and shoot it and edit as well. And it's like, even with Crime Watch, even though they're not stories, they are stories in a way as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've been editing the CCTV OOVs, the Out of Visions.
Yeah, so, I know what an OOV is.
I know you are, but maybe the listener, your listeners don't. I'm trying to educate you, Sue.
You know what? I know an actress, right? That when she was, we were doing a table reading, rehearsal reading, an actress, and we came to her words, and it did say OOV. And instead of just carrying on reading it, she went, ooh, and then carried on with the words.
There was a 90s show, Hercules, right? And the guy who played Hercules, in the script, there was a prompt saying, disappointed, right, in capital letters. And he actually goes, disappointed.
He actually said that, there you go.
And they left it in, I think they left it in.
So anyway, the oofs,
So that was that's interesting as well, like doing those different oofs and things. And it's like,
That's nice though, isn't it, that you've got a short-term goal, if you like, you know, that there's always been a kind of long-term, you know roughly where you want to be, but it's nice that you're now seeing the steps where you can get to the long-term as well.
Definitely, yeah. So it's like you dip your feet in first, and you get then you get comfy, and then you challenge yourself. Then, and that's where I'm at the moment now. I've got to challenge myself because I've done these so many times, and they know what I can do, and they know what I can do that I haven't done as well. So they, and that's a good thing. A lot of the directors and producers, what you talk to, because you do develop these bonds and stuff with them. And they know then, right, okay, you can do this, use a camera, go out and do it and stuff. So, which is
that's interesting in that team though, in that unscripted team. So, because you've got Oshan, that was before you,
yeah,
and is it Jack then? After, is there someone in between?
Yeah, Jack.
So, there's one, two, three. So there's four of you there, former apprentices.
And at one point, so in the winter run of X-Ray, me, Oshan, and Anna were all together.
Which is amazing, really, isn't it? You know that, and I think probably every one of you would say the same thing, that none of you thought that you would end up doing what you do, really.
Yeah.
That at some point you thought that there wasn't a way to get into the industry for you.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone's paths are different. It's like me and Anna's paths. Were kind of similar, whereas we'd done the apprenticeship and then went on to researching on X-Ray. But she's moved on now to back onto Bargain Hunt, and she's casting.
I was about to say that she's really good at talking to the public and stuff, isn't she?
She's fantastic. Yeah, great at it.
Yeah.
And then Oshan, he's now moved on to Countryfile as a camera operator.
I was going to say he's more on camera and the technical end of stuff, isn't he?
And Oshan, he's fantastic. There's nothing too big or too small to do and stuff like. And it's great to know that you've come from the same roots and things, and we've got that in common together and stuff like.
Yeah, same staple, Adam.
yep, definitely.
A bloody good staple with an open door.
tough master.
I think on that note, we can finish there.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming to talk to us.
No worries. Thank you for inviting me along.